Good morning. The first reading is Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The second reading is Matthew 3:13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Thus ends the reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we invite you into our presence here today. We ask that you would illuminate your word to us, that we may allow your Christ light to shine through us in the world and bring peace and justice in your realm that much closer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A little over 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Jesus' birth here together. This past Thursday was Epiphany, when the Magi, the three wise men, came to the stable to offer precious gifts to the infant Jesus. And once they had departed, the Holy Family escaped to Egypt amidst threats from a crazed King Herod, who feared his kingdom would be lost to an infant Messiah. And then today, with nothing in the way of a segue from the Gospel of Matthew, here we are talking about the baptism of Jesus. Now, even for an infant, 2 weeks would be pretty fast for baptism, but clearly we're talking about an adult Jesus here, a consenting adult. We have nothing in the way of a summary of Jesus' childhood, just one day he's an infant and then he's 30. Life can feel a little like that sometimes, I guess. I can remember standing as godmother at my niece Ayana's dedication like it was yesterday. And here I have just spent my Christmas holiday with a 12 and a half year old who has strong opinions of her own, a well-developed deadpan sense of humor, and an almost woman's body. Just like that, in the blink of an eye. We can only imagine what it must feel like for God to watch Jesus, then 2,000 years of Christians, and now us, grow into our lives and our ministries. Baptism is one of just two sacraments celebrated in the United Church of Christ. The second is communion. Sacraments are outward and visible signs of the invisible grace that is bestowed upon each one of us by God. Unlike communion, which Jesus instructed us to do often, we need only be baptized once to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence within and upon us and our lives. God's promises to us and our acceptance into the loving family that is the church, with both a little and a capital C. Yet even if we must only do it once, it bears reminding. And perhaps especially so if we are presented to God and the church by our parents as young children or infants and have little or no memory of this highly memorable event. And so we can occasionally celebrate not rebaptism, but renewal of those everlasting baptismal promises. But we can also remember, experience God's grace, and give thanks for that first sacrament whenever we approach the communion table and partake of the second sacrament. Years ago, my family was going through an especially challenging time. My mother had been diagnosed with breast cancer, a disease that had taken her own mother a decade or so earlier. Mom underwent a lumpectomy and a mastectomy. I brought my publishing work home from Colorado to Maine to be with her and my family over those 2 months. And then we all walked on eggshells as she began a regimen of tamoxifen, not knowing what the outcome would ultimately be. This was challenge enough for the adults, but for my young niece, I can barely imagine. For a preschooler, it seemed my niece had spent entirely too much time with her grandparents in doctor's offices, hospital rooms, and waiting areas. But beyond that, up until this point, Grammy Reynolds had been Ayana's sole daycare provider. And now Granny was not in a position to play that role any longer. Everything was changing, and everyone was acting funny and very, very serious. Perhaps not surprisingly, Ayana began to have angry outbursts around this time. But even as we all grew concerned about her emotional welfare, my niece, wise beyond her years, grasped for what she knew to be true beneath the veneer of her own and her family's fear and anxiety. She began to ask my sister and brother-in-law to play family videos from her infancy. And there she found the comfort and the healing she needed in images of a simpler, more secure time. Times when that abundant, unconditional love that always surrounded her was undeniably obvious, visible, and physically palpable. This is what it can be like when we recall our baptisms, to remember who and whose we are. Not so much a security blanket as a touchstone that has the power to take us back and move us forward in our lives and our innermost identities, washing away the soot and the tears that accumulate as we journey along together these dusty roads of our years on the earth. And for those of us who have not yet been baptized, that experience is available to us still. We are never too old or too worldly to approach the baptismal font and formally acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our beings. To accept the blessing and the affirmation of God's words of old, "This is my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, I know some of us were raised with slightly less affirming views of baptism. The focus may have been exclusively on the washing away of sin, and in the case of infant baptisms, on cleansing newborns of original sin. A doctrine introduced to the church, not through the Bible, but a few hundred years later by St. Augustine of Hippo. A concept that regrettably has been shaming people ever since. I believe one of the greatest gifts that our UCC denomination has to offer is its focus on a still speaking God, a God whose revelation is ongoing and active in our world today. We are granted permission and even encouraged to reframe what have proven over time to be harmful doctrines into life-giving ones. Matthew Fox, a former Catholic turned Episcopal priest, has done just that by recasting Augustine's concept of original sin as original blessing. Taking us back to Genesis, Fox reminds us that in the beginning, as God brought the earth and its inhabitants, plant, animal, and human, into being, God declared each and every one of them not deeply flawed, nor incomplete, nor dirty, but quite simply, good. And as that creation evolved over the eons and each of us came into being, so too, we were deemed good and beloved and a pleasure for our Creator to behold. Given what we know of human nature and man's tremendous capacity for inhumanity to man today and throughout history, this may sound terribly naive. And yet our Creator knows us inside and out. The good, this blessing, it is at once our roots and our potential. The very structure of the United Church of Christ acknowledges this. Autonomy and covenant are built into each level of our denomination, demonstrating faith in the inherent abilities of the children of God to work together independently and collectively for the good of all. And this is precisely what God has made and blessed us for, to follow in Jesus' footsteps as beloved children of God who grow into trusted servants of God. God doesn't promise it will be easy. After all, the very next event in Matthew's gospel is Jesus' temptation by Satan. Jesus was not spared that challenge, and neither will we be. But God does promise to always be present to us and to provide support and reminders along the way, breadcrumbs to help us recall who and whose we are. For those of you who may have wondered, at the time of her birth, my niece's name was thought to mean eternal blossom in Cherokee. I'm now reading that the name Ayana actually may have Ethiopian and Hindu roots, but that's okay. She is eternally cherished, beautiful, and growing in whatever language or faith, as are you and all God has created and continues to create. I'd like to close with a blessing from Celtic author John O'Donohue and an invitation. As you come forward to receive communion this morning, you're invited to dip your fingers into the baptismal waters, to recall Creator's life-giving force, the Spirit's grace and love, and the dance of Christian life into which your very birth invites you to join with the Spirit of the still-speaking God and the people alike. The blessing is called For Belonging. May you listen to your longing to be free. May the frames of your belonging be generous enough for your dreams. May you arise each day with a voice of blessing whispering in your heart. May you find harmony between your soul and your life. May the sanctuary of your soul never become haunted. May you know the eternal longing that lives at the heart of time. May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. May you never place walls between the light and yourself. May you allow the wild beauty of the invisible world to gather you, mind you, and embrace you in belonging. Amen.